Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Welcome to the Hollywood Casino Press Box with your host, Frank Cusimano.
Here's the pitch. Langer, there it is! Into left field! It's number 3,000! A run is scored! Musial ran first! On his way to second with a double!
The best interviews and the most informed insight.
And that's McGaffey breaking free, has a seam, and a crease! The kicker can't trip him up! Headed for the end zone! Will it be back-to-back weeks? Yes!
All tied together with the experience of over 20 years of local broadcasting excellence in St. Louis.
Now Stasny gets away from a check to Fabry. Wide open. Brower. Rebound. He scores. Troy Brower. The former Blackhawk has given the Blues a 3-2 lead.
Now, here is Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Good morning and welcome. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Frank Cusimano with you until 12 o'clock. Got a good one lined up today. The Hall of Famer Rick Hummel join us at 11:20. Martin will be in studio at 11 o'clock. And then at 10:30 today, something a little bit different. His name is Bo Mitchell. He was a successful businessman, church founder, chaplain for the Nuggets, and inexplicably ended up in a federal prison. His remarkable story, he wrote a book. I could not put it down. I asked Brian, can we run down this Bo Mitchell? Texted him yesterday, and all of a sudden Brian says, yeah, Bo Mitchell tomorrow. Unbelievable. So we're excited about that. We're excited about today's program. If you'd like to be a part of it, we recommend using the Maryville University phone lines, 855-282-8255. Go to maryville.edu for more information about that terrific school in town and country. Our opening monologue is brought to you by the great people at Gateway Motorsports Park. And let's begin with lap one. Well, 351 teams, 5 months of basketball, and it came down to one game. And what a game it was. Most were thinking the game was going to be in the 50s. 85-77 is pretty good. Texas Tech had never given up 85 points. Virginia's precision offense had something to do with that. Who says they're undermanned and overachieving and unathletic? They have really, really good players. Diakite, he's an ideal five man. I mean, if I'm starting a team in college basketball and I got a bunch of guys that can shoot and have skill around him, he's ideal. He finishes. He blocks shots. This guy's a good player. Then they have a superstar lottery player in DeAndre Hunter, who made a ton of money last night. I mean, after Duke's two and Ja Morant, could he be number four in the draft? The guy skyrocketed last night. And then they have not one, but two really good college guards or college swingmen. Kyle Guy was 8 of 15. He had 24 points. You know, this guy was on All-American teams. He made third-team AP All-American. That means he's one of the top 15 players in college basketball. He was a McDonald's All-American. Don't tell me he's one of these overachieving, you know, get the most out of it. Guy was a McDonald's All-freaking-American. And he was named the outstanding player of the Final Four. And then this Ty Jerome. Who would not want to have this guy on your team? He was spectacular. 6'5 guy from New York. I mean, you have a nucleus of those four, you can win a championship. It's not outlandish. They lost two regular season games all year to Duke. And then they have Tony Bennett. I may be wrong about this, but I would be willing to bet the mortgage that the letters FBI ever pop up in the same paragraph with Tony Bennett, okay? And when he was being interviewed by Jim Nance after the game, the Italian coach brought up Rocky Balboa.
I don't know if all these guys will remember this, but when they come into my office, I got a poster of Rocky on the steps. And I told them, I said, I just want a chance at a title fight one day. That's all we want. And these guys came to fight in this title, and now we're the champs. And I'm so thankful.
The other coach, Chris Beard, just as wonderful after the game when discussing his team.
Just told him I loved him. And, you know, our relationship's just getting started. I'll be at those guys' weddings one day, and hopefully when their kids get born, and do everything I can to talk them out of getting into coaching so they don't ever feel like this. But, you know, I just love those guys.
That's pretty good. And I got to tell you something. If you're an athletic director or if you're a college coach right now, Texas Tech should give you hope. I mean, if they can do it, they can get to overtime in the national championship game. Why not you? I mean, you hire a really good coach, you keep the superstar in your backyard at home, Jarrett Culver, get some grad transfers, and then maybe a shooter from Barcelona. Of course, that's... No, not Barcelona. Bologna, yeah. He's Italian. And he shot the ball, man. His dad's a former coach, or is a coach. Yeah, just get a shooter from Bologna, a couple of grad transfers, and then keep the five-star All-American at home. And you go to OT of the national championship game. A few other thoughts. I'm wondering, too, is if this game can be broken down as easy as this. Hunter versus Culver. Hunter has the best game of his career. Really efficient. Culver, who did make some good plays, missed 17 shots. And then Culver, again, I don't want to beat up on him because he's a good player. But he could have won the game in regulation. Now, granted, Virginia's defense is unbelievable. But he still settled for like a 22-footer. Got to get to the rim. Let the officials blow the whistle so you can go to the free throw line. Got to get to the rim. You're as athletic as heck. You could do that. What a game. From losing to Maryland, Baltimore County, to winning the national championship 12 months later. Thoughts, come on aboard. Much to discuss. Lap two. The Cardinals. Now, raise your hand when the Dodgers took a 2-0 lead in the first if you thought, this is going to be a long night. All right, put your hands down now. Instead, some timely hitting, good-looking bullpen, and you just knocked off arguably the best team in the league. Marcelo Zuna can't throw, but he can hit.
Down the left field line, and it's gone! Home run, Ozuna! Two-run line drive shot. The foul pole down the left field line, and we're tied.
Jose Martinez is not a starter as we speak, but he can hit.
And that's a base hit into left. Smothered, but a hit nonetheless. Carpenter scores. Martinez delivers, and we're tied at three.
But the hero of the game, John Gant, got beat out for that starting spot at the end of spring training. And instead, well, he's just become a weapon out of the bullpen. He's performing the role that you wanted Alex Reyes to grab and still hope Carlos Martinez will grab. But the night really was about John Gant.
We double switched to give the opportunity for Johnny to go multiple innings. He has a very efficient seventh, and based on him being a starter, we said this from the very beginning, he's got pitches against left-handers. So, you know, his stuff's good. His changeup was really good. You could see that early. So it's an equalizer pitch. It's, you know, a tough pitch for either hitter, righty or lefty. So he had the stuff, had the pitches, had everything in place to go face those two guys.
Yeah, got Seager to end the seventh, then the inning-ending double play ball to end the eighth. Really good stuff. He's a man of few words. Have you guys ever heard John Gant? I'm telling you, I'm texting Corey, who's over there getting sound from me last night after the game, and go, forget everybody else. Get to Gant. The guy was the MVP of the game. He was the best player, okay? And then we're trying to get John Gant sound. I mean, I managed to get like 4 seconds. He's a quiet guy, but boy, good pitcher. All right, lap three. The Blues. They leave this afternoon for Winnipeg and won't play here till Sunday night. It'd be nice to come back 2-0. We had some good content on the program yesterday. First, let's talk about Connor Hellebuyck, the Jets goaltender, inside from their play-by-play man, Dennis Byak.
Connor Hellebuyck had a terrific year last year. Vezina Trophy nominee. Got his feet wet in NHL playoffs last year, going all the way to the third round against Vegas. And it hasn't been an easy year for Connor Hellebuyck. It's been a good year for Connor Hellebuyck as far as his play is concerned, but it hasn't been an easy year. There's been games where there's been deflections, there's been ricochets, there's been ones that you look back and say, boy, when's he going to start getting a break? Some of that did happen down the stretch where, some of those goals that were kind of going in weren't going in. He got the favorable call for goalie interference in the Arizona game the other day, so maybe some of that'll turn. But that's an interesting part of this series, as it is for every series, as to which goaltender might have an advantage. I don't know if there is going to be the ability to make the call here in this series as to which team has the advantage in net. I mean, you can look at Connor Hellebuck's experience in the playoffs and say maybe it goes to him.
Yeah, tough to not give the edge to Jordan Binnington because of, goals against average, best in the league. But then again, he hasn't been there before. So we'll find out. All right. Darren Pang was also with us. And I asked him about that first line. Vladimir Tarasenko, Ryan O'Reilly, and Braden Schenn.
Boy, we've seen some really good lines over the years. I think this is the most complete line with the responsibilities of Ryan O'Reilly on both sides of it. I mean, for me, he's the best two-way forward in the National Hockey League. He's the most complete center iceman that we've got right now in the NHL. And then once they moved Braden Schenn, I think we were in Anaheim when that happened, and he was a power forward, so he does a lot of the work in down low speed work, and then he can make a play out of the corner. And then Vladdy's game turned around. Let's face it. I mean, Vladdy's fully engaged, and he wasn't engaged early in the year, but we've got him on 100% winning mode, and that's a good sign.
All right, lap four. Gateway Motorsports Park opening monologue. And this is pretty random, but it all kind of connected with me last night when I'm putting this together. So Chris Mullin is reportedly stepping down as the head coach at St. John's, and I realize nobody really cares about that. But while we were waiting to interview Mike Schilt yesterday, we were involved in a quick little exchange with the Cat, Doug, and the Commish. And one of the topics was best left-handed basketball players of all time. That's what we do with our spare time.
What an esoteric conversation that is.
I don't know how it came up. I think we were talking about big white stiffs to begin with, like Stuart Gray, Greg Dreiling, stuff like that. And then we just branched off to lefties.
I bet the Cat name dropped a couple of randos because he surprisingly has a pretty good internal database of random basketball players.
Especially Phil Jackson. Was he left-handed? Yeah. Yeah, I think he was. Okay, so without a doubt, the best left-handed basketball player of all time is Bill Russell. I mean, he won 5 MVPs and 11 world championships in 13 years. So there's no debate there. Now, the interesting one is best left-handed shooter that God ever put on this planet. And, I want to say Chris Mullin, but how can you go against James Harden? I mean, that's really tough. I mean, pure shooter, I kind of lean towards Mullin, but pure scorer, there's nobody like Harden. Nobody. Left-handed.
Tony Kukoc.
Really good player. All right, let's throw out some lefties. I have the best point guard. I have Nate Archibald. I think we're going to get some great suggestions. By the way, best local left-handed basketball player, Greg Polinsky from Ladue, my all-time hero. Manu Ginobili would have to be on the list. See, if you put Tiny at the 1, Harden at the 2, Mullin at the 3, Russell at the 5... Who's my power forward on my all-time left-handed team? We're going to get some suggestions, I'm sure. Sam Perkins, possibly, a very good player. Gail Goodrich was a great shooter. Billy Cunningham was a small forward, but not don't think quite as good as Chris.
Lenny Moore. Wilkins.
Ooh, really good.
Chris Bosch. Artis Gilmore is a lefty.
He's our backup center.
The backup center.
That's who the commission.
I think I'm on the same list Rock is on, and Frank, you've named just about. David Robinson was a lefty.
Oh, the Admiral.
The Admiral.
Oh, good Lord Almighty.
Well,
the Admiral and Russell running the floor. If
so, you're going to move Russell to four?
If Duncan and Robinson could play together, Bill Russell and Robinson could figure it out, too.
Yeah.
I figure they could just run the floor. Just get out and run with those two.
So Harden and Mullen at the 2 and 3.
Are those the two best open floor running big men, Bill Russell and David Robinson and Tim Duncan? Are those the three best open floor running big men?
Well, you're not considering Karl Malone because he's a power
forward. I'm talking mainly fives, although Tim Duncan played a lot of four, too. But I'm talking mainly guys, seven-footers
five.
Almost.
That's a good question.
Those got to be three of the best right there.
Yeah, that is good. All right, left five. Yeah, we're getting some votes for David Robinson. Okay. So yesterday, I'm watching Jay Williams on ESPN, and I think he does a terrific job. But he said something about the whole Zion, Michael Avenatti, Duke, Nike saga. He said, you know, nobody's getting hurt. People are just getting paid, so what's wrong about it? Look, I agree with the premise that these guys should make some type of money. I don't know if I want, like, the university's college players, like, paid, but I want, like, Zion to be able to, like, sell his jersey and Zion to be able to go to Bomarito Automotive one day and sign autographs and make $10,000. That's fine. He should make that money. But as we speak, in April of 2019, there are rules in place and even laws in place about enticing players to go to a school with bribes. So I think that if we have these rules, well, you got to draw the line somewhere. I mean, change the rules, but until they're changed, then it's really like unfair to, let's say, Mizzou or Illinois or SLU that Nike is not helping out their recruiting with cold, hard cash to their families. At least we don't think. You know, as crazy as Michael Avenatti is, and as little credibility as he has in many issues, everything he may be saying about this situation could be perfectly accurate. I mean, Marvin Bagley's dad got like $160,000, didn't he? Coach K is saying there's nothing there. No, I think there is something there. What's your take? I mean, first of all, you allow the kids to go pro right out of high school. Right out of high school, go pro. But, I mean, you can't allow, like, shoe companies to get involved and paying off kids to go to that respective school. No, if the shoe company wants that player, okay, then let the kid go right out of high school to the NBA and so they can pay the kid right away. Or shoe company, wait until, you know, he's out of college. I mean, why do just a few schools get the benefit? Shoe companies are paying for their players or their parents or their cars or their houses. Just get out of amateur sports. And I will say this too, as much as I love Zion Williamson and I do think he's going to be a great, great pro, he's going to be better than Larry Johnson. I think he's going to be better than Barkley. But let me tell you something. It's not the name on the back of the jersey. It's the one across the chest. College basketball doesn't really need Zion. It helps when he's there, but they don't because, like, last night Zion wasn't in the game. And that game did just fine. In fact, it did better than fine. So even if these guys, like, went from high school straight to the NBA, it's okay. The college game is just fine. All right, lap six. Stream of consciousness. You know, I was thinking about this last night when I was watching Joe Kelly stride to the mound, and his ERA is now 13.50. Man, that era of Cardinal players that were really good at, like, age 22 to 25 or 26, man, that hasn't really worked out here in their early 30s. Joe Kelly's ERA is 13.50. Alan Craig is out of baseball. Kevin Sechrist is out of baseball. Trevor was a little younger, but he's the first pitcher since 1995 to not retire hitter in his first nine. His ERA is infinity. Boy, it ends quickly. That's why you got a chance to get paid, go get paid. They want to, like, tear up some free agency years or arbitration years, then we give you, like, $90 million, like Acuna. Yeah, go get paid. Because you never know how quickly it's going to end. Alan Craig is one of the greatest mysteries of all time, I think. Finally, a sound-alike. Martin likes look-alikes. I'm listening to Jay Bomeister yesterday. And Matt, why don't you bring down the music just a little bit, because we're going to play a soundbite. Does he sound a little bit like Bill Belichick?
Coming into this year, I was pretty confident if I could get healthy, I'd be fine. It was just a matter of getting back to be able to move the way you're used to. And didn't play a lot of hockey last year, so start of this year was tough, just for a lot of different reasons, but mostly just because I wasn't feeling the way that I could. And for me, it's a problem because skating is something that I rely on. So,
like occasionally his voice trails, and yeah, that's when it sounds a lot like Bill. Yeah,
yeah, and it's very low energy.
Just
like that noise. Yeah. That's a Bill noise.
It's one of these things you kind of have to lean in when you're talking to him. What a nice fellow, though. Congratulations to Jay Bomeister getting a contract with the Blues. All right, let's take a short time out. We are going to have a special guest coming up. His name is Bo Mitchell. He's got quite a story to tell. We'll be right back.